Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Alistair, the ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you.
Oh, that's correct.
Yes.
You know me so well.
Yeah, yeah. I took one look at you and I thought, that's a man who doesn't need a flex ball. What am I talking about? I'm talking about shaving.
What?
Specifically, I'm talking about Harry's. Harry's is the way to shave.
Oh, I know that.
Simplify your shaving regime by cutting out the middleman. And what better way to cut out the middleman than with a very sharp German-engineered razor blade from Harry's?
I don't even know why you're telling me this. I've already done it years ago.
Yes, your middleman has been excised, right? And placed in some kind of like biological waste disposal container and taken away
now,
to be incinerated.
Now I treat the hairs on my face like they are the middleman and I cut them out once every 2-3 days.
Anyway, Harry's, I've got a lot more to say about it later on in the podcast, but suffice to say, you go to harrys.com/think tank, you get yourself a real good deal. And sunka dunka dunka dunk dunk dunga da sunka dunka dunka dunk dunk dunga da sunka dunka da sunka dunka da sunka dunka 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 dung. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
That's right.
Sorry.
And jumping in there, the voice of incorrect numbers,
but correct letters. Peter Thomas.
Thank you very much. Think of a number and I'll tell you whether it's correct or not. Or no, I'll be able to say it and it won't be right.
Okay. I'm thinking of a number.
Okay. 12. And that's wrong.
You're right. That is wrong.
It's a kind of magic.
Being always being unable to think of the right number at any time.
I mean, I don't think it necessarily helps you on the casino floor.
No.
Like, I don't think you could take your Rain Man, your Peter Thomas Rain Man down there.
Maybe you could get him to tell you
where not to go.
Yeah, 12. He could tell you 20 answers.
No, I don't think he can tell you 20. I think he can only tell you one number that it isn't.
I can only think of one number at a time. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I think he could tell you 20. I think this is how you turn it into a superpower.
Okay.
He's at the card team. He goes, tell me what cards the dealer has or whatever. And he goes, 2, 8. And he goes, okay, so it's not
okay,
that.
So
he
it's
goes,
not that. Well, I mean, that's goes, a start.
No, Jack, seriously, tell me.
Jack, ace. He goes, okay, so it's not that. He goes, 7, 8.
He goes, okay, you already said that. 8, yeah, but okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we can really rule that one out.
It's great to be here.
I think a superhero whose thing is that he gets everything wrong. It's reliably wrong. And when he shoots at something, he always misses.
Every time.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
And
like as in he can't do anything right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's a character in a silent movie where he just keeps stepping in buckets and the bucket gets stuck to his foot and then
he's a bumbling superhero.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like so much a power as a curse. I mean, how would they be able to use this, let's call it an ability, because that's neutral.
Yeah.
This ability to fight crime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think it's a story about, you know, allowing yourself to fail.
Yeah.
And then at some point...
Oh, so they fight the bigger crime of people being afraid to try new things.
Yeah.
So right. When, say, the hitman, mm-hmm. he's a guy who has 18 fists, right? He comes right. into a bank and he's going to hit everybody, right?
Mm. In the bank. How many people are in the bank?
18. Right. He's going to hit every single one of them.
Oh, my God. Right? With one hit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the hitman. And he only does crimes mm-hmm. where there are 18 victims.
This sounds perfect.
Now, but our guy, what is he called? The Bunglebee?
He hasn't managed to come up with a name.
Okay.
The fumbler?
The fumbler. The incredible fumbler. Mm. Right. He has a gun, right? And he aims and sprays bullets. Doesn't hit the hitman once, right? But he does kill everybody else in the bank. Mm,
yes.
But okay, everybody, mm-hmm. everybody does, you know, when the story gets out, everybody's like, you know what? I should take those aquarobics lessons.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Because he had a go.
But I think, look, he realizes how to aim his talents through this bad experience. That was his first time out
there. Okay, and when he's released from prison,
yeah,
in 50 years.
Yeah, so he comes out, he's an older man,
yeah,
and he realizes if he goes to crimes that are happening where there's two people, he can bring a gun and try and shoot the victim.
Mm.
Right?
Well, he's good, but he becomes a criminal. He does it because he's so bad at everything. He decides, well, then the best thing for me to do is to become a master criminal. And then he will try and... When do you graduate from being a master criminal to being a Mr. Criminal? That's what I want to know.
When you turn 12.
Yeah.
But... And then, you know, he can show up. I guess there has to be still something bad happening for him to accidentally...
No, okay, so he gets out of prison, goes back to that same bank.
Mm.
There are 18 people there.
Okay.
And
so the business hasn't grown in 50 years.
So the fumbler decides, well, I couldn't save anyone, so I might as well try and take all the money.
Mm.
But they would end up foiling a robbery there just by virtue of them not being able to rob the place. Or maybe they donate money to the bank or a charity. Yeah.
Money to a bank, which is truly the work of a superhero.
But also he somehow is trying to break into it and then actually fortifies it even stronger.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, great.
Yeah, that raises stocks in the bank. Like instead of the bank being seen as an unsafe place or...
Basically, all his works wind up being making banks more successful.
Which really, yeah, that would be at the heart of it.
And then he can learn how to take a cut from that.
Mm. Mm.
Well, I mean, isn't he a bit like you and I? Like, is this masked stranger?
Mm.
Mm.
Really?
The fumbler.
There's a song
fumbler.
In that. Isn't he a bit like you and I?
Accidentally trying to rob a bank and then letting the bank... Get bigger and open other branches in different districts because of their success.
I knew there was a song in it.
And then his uncle dies.
Oh, his uncle dies at the end, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle Frank. That's when he was trying to do dentistry work on his uncle.
Mm-hmm. Wait. What?
His uncle was so cheap.
He got him to do it. He got the fumbler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were both quite old at this point. You know? Two old men working on each other's teeth.
One of them dies, and the other one's the thief.
This sounds like a great way for male friendships to evolve.
Yeah,
you know, like a couple of men working on each other's teeth.
Exactly. You're both learning about how the mouth works.
Mm-hmm. Trust. Opening. Absolutely. A lot of trust. It's a practical skill. You know, it involves tools and that sort of thing. I think it's a thing. I think it could be, you know.
Probably better than these men's shed things.
Yeah. Men's mouths.
Mm.
And it's men in each other's mouths.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. Sometimes men can find it hard to... tell each other about their feelings. Mm-hmm. But if one of them has their mouth open and the other one has stuck their fingers in their mouth, then they won't have to talk about anything. In fact, they won't be able to.
Correct. But also what you don't realise is that if you've got your mouth open, you're already halfway to talking.
That's right. And if you're afraid of not having enough to say, you can just go,
Makes you an excellent listener.
Excellent listener.
So, and they're both doing this on each other simultaneously.
Yeah, they're 69ing in that way.
69ing! Yeah. Yes!
But dentistry. Yes! The dentistry version of 69ing.
What? Sure. Yeah. Of course they are. Well, I don't... These men sheds aren't just for two people at a time, though.
No, but there's special chairs that allow you to
you
both
strap
lean
in
back.
One gets lowered on top of the other.
Well, yeah, it would be from the ceiling in a sort of like a Mission Impossible-esque.
Yeah, you just use those roller coaster chairs that you used to strap you into a roller coaster that goes upside down. Mm-hmm.
Or in space, or some of those high altitude jets that achieve zero gravity for a couple of minutes at a time, and people film clips and things up there. I almost said upstairs, up there.
Well, upper atmosphere is like the upstairs of the world.
That would make it really easy to do dentistry on each other.
That's true. Zero gravity.
Zero gravity. 69 style.
Yeah.
One of the advantages of being in space.
Some days I think it might be the only advantage of being in space.
Well, I wonder if dentistry has been performed in space yet. We should find out. I mean, they're always doing stupid stuff on the international space.
They're up in the air they're up not in the air, but outside, completely away from air.
Beyond the air.
Beyond the air for so long that they would need to know how to do sort of some rudimentary first aid things.
What if they're no longer submerged, are they? Once there.
No, they're completely emerged.
I mean, they would maybe at least have one big bandage so that they can wrap it from underneath their mouth all the way to over the top of their head in a big bow so that they could have an old school toothache.
Yeah.
So they're submerged in that, you think?
Yeah, I think
they can also put a stake over one of their eyes if one of them has a black eye. It's my favourite.
What was that about?
Well, meat heals meat.
it's the healing
isn't
power.
Isn't
there
the risk that your eye would cure the steak of being a dead cow
if
it comes to life?
Yeah. Maybe that was part of it.
Moo! It's a tiny, tiny little steak cow.
Little mouth grows on there.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what that. Don't know what that steak. Who came up with that? Quick, get some meat on it.
Now they're lab grow. They're like going to try. You know, they're lab growing meat.
Yes. Mm. What are they called? Miracle burgers? No.
Impossible burgers.
Impossible burgers.
No, those ones are vegetarian ones.
Mm.
But they taste like meat, I think.
Right.
I think.
Oh, and you're talking about actually growing
animal
products without animals.
Mm. But could they, instead of doing that, or as well in parallel, grow animal consciousnesses in labs that we can end?
Well, I think we talked about this on a very recent episode of the podcast, being able to grow something in the lab that just experiences pain.
Oh, well, I think maybe we did that with maybe the soy boy.
No, but we also came up with it two episodes ago in the podcast, is what I am telling you right now.
I know, I heard your words, but I didn't believe you, and I just
thought, if you flip back a couple on the sheet, you will see lab grown pain as the last thing that we wrote down.
Right, so that one's off the table.
I guess that one's off the table. Let's see. We got social media. Division.
No, the last one at the very bottom.
Yesterday.
Yeah. At the bottom of the list.
Pool players are being trained up to knock asteroids
out
of
space. Maybe it was the one before that. Anyway, the point is, I'm right.
Okay.
I'm right.
Growing nothing but the feeling of loss. the feeling of loss.
Oh.
In a petri
dish. So does that mean I'm right or wrong?
Well, I guess you are both right and wrong.
No,
you were right of the location, and then it was about growing something in a lab or somewhere, but it was just the feeling of loss, which I guess is kind of a
subcategory of pain,
or very close to the category of pain. Sorry, Andy.
Well, I mean,
sorry, you were almost. Yeah, right.
It was a great journey for us all to go on.
And you're usually not happy about the feeling of loss.
Oh, it depends. Yeah. What if it's a dog say that you don't, you know, you feel there's too much responsibility?
Jeez, Al, okay. I'll try and imagine that.
The pleasure of absence. Yeah.
Yeah, the pleasure of someone's absence makes the heart grow fonder. So, I mean, imagine how fond I would be of this dog if I didn't have it at all.
Yeah. What about just like something that makes hair grow on your heart?
Okay. Absence makes the heart grow hair.
Well, we understand that absence makes the heart grow fonder. But what about sort of like...
like Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda makes your heart grow hair.
No, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Oh, Jane Fonda. Sorry. Yeah. But Jane Fonda.
Or Peter.
Well, what makes hair grow? Follicles.
Follicles. Mm-hmm. Can I talk about laser hair removal for a second?
Please do.
Do either of you have any idea how laser hair removal works?
I don't.
Well, there are two essential ingredients. The first one being laser.
Yes.
And
the other one being hair removal.
Yes, that's right.
I feel like this could be a question on How Do Whales Work, our game show, where you just ask people questions about things they don't have any idea about. They've got to try and guess how they work, right? Because I think I sort of have a picture of what a laser is in my mind, right? But I can't for the life of me work out how you use that to remove, say, all the hairs on somebody's leg and stop them from growing back.
All right, so a laser's like a super light globe or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
Super
pointy light globe. I never feel like my hair's falling out, even a little bit, when I'm around a light globe. So I am finding it hard to understand how even a super light globe, very pointy as it is, could remove all my hair.
But sometimes the sun hurts.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
and that can burn your skin.
But does laser hair removal hurt?
I imagine that I assume it does. A shock of some sort.
Like. Right. And is it burning individual follicles?
Well, if it's not, then what's the point? You're not trying to laser remove
your
skin.
And then how is it not just scarring your skin? Anyway, I'm sure answers to all of this stuff exist, I hope. But I cannot begin to imagine how it works.
A similar thing with removing tattoos from deep inside your skin. I think I saw a headline that said some person bought a tattoo removal thing, like a do it from home, but from China, and it's just like an unbelievably powerful laser that just gets sent to them, and they're like, "Oh, geez."
Is it one of those things where, like, when you buy a new type of soap or washing soap, it says test it on an inconspicuous part of the
body,
before or test it on an enemy before you use it on your tattoo.
Well, I knew somebody who was getting a tattoo removed from their back. And if you touch them in that area on their back where they had been getting it removed, they would get like a, oh, that's an awful feeling. So these things probably can do damage to your skin and stuff. Or
maybe that's just the way you touch people, Alistair.
Your nerves, yeah.
Yes, I was using my 3-inch long fingernails that I've filed to a point and just twirling my fingers around their back. You don't think that affected...
And they didn't know I was there.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to enjoy it. Obviously, the tattoo removal. Why are we talking about laser hair removal? Just because you don't know what it is?
Al mentioned something about growing hair on your heart or something.
Right.
So I wasn't sure if it was necessarily going anywhere.
Absence makes the heart grow follicles.
Yes. I think the power of spookiness. I can more closely connect the idea of spookiness removing hair follicles than I can lasers, Because if you could have something that could fire concentrated spookiness at your skin, I imagine it could give you really intense goosebumps, which would then squeeze the root of the hair out of your skin and it would fall off.
That's much better, thank you.
Shoot the root.
Shoot the root with some concentrated spook. And you could terrify the skin off. You know how people can get scared and then their hair turns white. We've established a connection between spookiness and hair.
You can lose a lot of its color. Could you make it completely transparent?
I mean, that would be a start, wouldn't it?
Sounds like it's only one spook away.
One spook away. Turn up it up one more spook, right? And so I, you know, is this anything?
We're getting really close.
I like, you know, you get, you go along, and Stephen King himself is there reading his spookiest of spooky stories.
Mm-hmm. So wait, they're shooting like actual like short stories into each
actual
concentrated,
right?
So you can play them at triple speed or something to enhance their spookiness.
Do you have to like make your hair follicle into an ear for a second?
Yes.
For it to understand,
it's very broad spectrum.
Well,
it'll get rid of most of your hair.
Correct.
So not just from the places that you would like to remove but from your whole body in general.
Yeah, it's a kind of alopecia.
Yes. Yeah,
it all just falls off, right? And then
that's all right.
You can get a nice blank slate, and then you can build the hair back up however you want with wigs or whatever.
Yeah, or another. I mean, if spookiness makes you lose hair, then it stands to reason that
there's a different type of story.
Romance, something heartwarming, something about adopting a dog or something like that would really make your hair grow, possibly
on your heart.
Yes.
Putting hairs on your chest, that's what you get from...
Drinking
whiskey?
Things that are horrible, like that make you feel sick.
I'm going to write down spook hair removal.
Thanks. Are you writing it down just so that I'll stop talking about it, Alistair?
Andy, I think it's really good.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for your support.
Spook hair removal.
He spooked the hair right off of me. You know what I've been thinking about recently, Alistair?
I don't know.
That bit that we riffed on a recent podcast about shitting your pants in. How you can shit in as well. How about poo going out of your bottom is shitting, but stuff going into your bottom is also shitting, technically, right? So if you shat
anything
in your pants,
that passes through your anus, no matter the direction,
correct,
is shitting. Pooping. Yeah.
Shitting is not a vector; it's a scalar property. So the direction isn't important, and you could shit in your pants, and that could actually mean sucking your pants up into your bottom. Now, this is just a little recently on to in the think tank, reminiscing about
as an ad for other episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Encouraging people to dip
doing
into
more,
the archive.
Yeah, we started doing more ads for Two in the Think Tank on this podcast.
Poured water all over my crotch.
That's okay.
I just pissed in my pants.
But were you going to lead that to somewhere?
Absolutely nothing, Alistair. No, I just thought we could reminisce about a funnier idea I was involved in than spooking your hair off.
I think spook hair removal, it can be, you know, it's like similar things to getting, you know, electrocuted to straighten your hair. You know?
Yep. Is that a thing?
The young Einstein effect.
Yeah, it's like a thing from cartoons, you know? Same thing, I think, with your hair turning white.
Also electrocuted to make your skin transparent so everyone can see your skeleton.
That's right.
Yeah.
If only for a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
enough if you get a photo.
Yeah, you know? Medically, they could diagnose you based on that.
I'm pretty sure that's just how x-rays work.
I'm absolutely certain. X stands for electrocute.
You thought there was going to be a different sound in that word before you started saying it out loud, didn't you, Pete?
Yep.
I think all the C's in electrocute almost sound like an X.
It's weird that, like, it feels like the word electricity should have an X in it.
Mm.
You're absolutely right.
Trick city. Yeah. But I'd gone too far through the word before I could try and turn it into sounding more like an X.
Yeah, you're pretty deep in. It's weird. I could, you know, objectively, you'd swear there was an X in electricity.
I mean, X seems like the symbol for electricity.
Mm. Definitely. No.
It's almost like ecstatic seems like something that would
be... Yeah, there's no X in ecstatic.
No, it is.
Yet exit, that doesn't feel like it has an X in it.
Yeah.
Has one.
I feel like we could replace quite a few letters with X.
Mm. C, K.
Yeah.
S.
Mm. Mm.
S's, pricks. C's, I's sometimes.
I's could be replace
yeah,
X's?
I think so.
Wow. Yeah, well, when you die, your eyes turn into X's, as I understand it from cartoons.
Mm. Mm. Yep, done.
Done. Changed it. Did it. Fixed it.
Now, inside a whale.
Mm. You know, how do they work?
If you are inside a whale, like Pepito or Giuseppe.
Pinocchio.
Giuseppe's. Giuseppe. Is it Giuseppe who took care of Pinocchio?
Yeah, I think.
Geppetto.
Geppetto.
Geppetto?
Geppetto. What? Pepito. Giuseppe. You combine Giuseppe and it's not... Pepito, but it's Geppetto.
So Geppetto? Is Geppetto and Pinocchio both in the whale? I thought it was just Pinocchio.
Don't know. No, it's been a long time.
Geppetto first.
Right.
And then Pinocchio goes looking for him. It's after Pinocchio gets back from the place where he's a donkey.
Yeah, the island of bad boys.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff going on in that story, isn't there?
The whale's name is Monstro or something like that.
Right.
So we get to know his name.
There's a lot of crazy business in that.
Yeah, and there's a fairy and there's a cricket that talks. That's also this little wooden child's conscious.
Conscience. Do you think that Disney stories have sort of toned down a lot since then? Like, I don't think they would put all those weird ass elements into something.
No, it's been very streamlined.
Now it's just talking cars or something like that.
Yeah, and all the songs are about asphalt.
Believing in yourself.
Yeah, believe in yourself. Drive on some asphalt.
And drive on some asphalt. Making a living, selling the car.
Selling cartwheels.
Yeah.
Which anyway,
yes.
If you were inside a whale, Alistair.
Do you think you could deck it out like a van and just have like a bed on one
nice
side?
Nice curtain.
No question that whales are the van of the ocean.
Well, they're the van of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. There's enough space.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but could you get your feet and everything out of the sort of the danger zone where you might get swallowed or digested or whatever?
There's got to be an island in there somewhere. Maybe there's a capsized boat and you can use that as a base for your...
Well, because I wonder if there's like a capsized
Or a boat. Capsized van inside the whale, and you could use that as your van.
Just like a regular camper van.
Yeah.
And you know that if there is any air sort of in the stomach of the whale, that is all burp air, you know?
Mm.
Like you are breathing in burp.
Mm. Yeah, right.
You're trying to subsist in an entirely burp atmosphere.
So because, it would be like a human body. There's not really a lot of big cavernous zones where they're empty and you can just hang out in there, right?
Sort Except like... that it's much larger. So there are big...
Well, we know that there is gas, that, you know, because of the existence of burps, that proves that there is some gas very often in the stomach.
We know that Pinocchio was in there, so that also proves that.
Sorry, I'm neglecting
there's enough space in there.
Empirical evidence for Pinocchio.
For not only Pinocchio, but also... Jonah,
yep. That's corroboration right there.
And an unspecified third example
of
someone being swallowed by a whale.
But what about, that space in there where you have access to the blowhole and you know, you can see it up above and there's, a little bit of light coming in from the blowhole? Mm. Is that real? Or is
that a thing?
Kind of like a submarine.
Yeah. Eh?
Like a submarine, you would look up through the, say...
Well, because I think once you get into the mouth and then you're kind of past that area and they close the mouth, then there's not really any light for you.
Mm. Unless there's some phosphorescent algae.
Mm. Or a candle.
Or something like that. Or a candle.
Or a candle. But I think the smoke
the gas,
would probably be a
problem with naked flame.
Mm.
Yeah, and also walking around, you'd probably get an itchy throat and it would be like...
Mm-hmm.
And also LEDs are probably more efficient.
Mm.
So are we saying that we can't really live in a whale?
You can, but I think you have to create another atmosphere inside that. So if you drove your van into the whale, as long as your van was airtight, And you could...
Well, you could probably do it with one of those new Teslas or something
yeah.
like that.
Mm. I assume that that has its own oxygen supply and can drive on the moon.
Yeah. So maybe instead of a van, what about just like a swag that has a little microclimate inside it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, instead of like having to go and live on Mars or something like that, if we can just create... If there are places inside animals and other habitats.
If it's uninhabitable places that we want to live, we've got them right here on Earth.
We got them here.
Inside the belly of a whale. Mm-hmm. Has nobody tried that? Right? Because we can give that a crack right now.
Because you could just set your little swag. It'll be like a sort of submarine-y swag. And you get it. You set it. It's
Coordinates
to find plankton.
Yeah.
And you just go and hang out in a cloud of plankton. And you float in there. And then you just wait for a whale to take. I guess this is, helps if you're on the run or something like that.
Is this a thing that David Blaine has actually done?
I was thinking exactly the same thing. There has to be
inside a whale.
Some sort of
like a whale corpse on a beach or something. Has he ever crawled into one and said, "I'll be in here for 2 weeks"? I'm David Blaine.
Goodbye,
magic. What everyone imagines when they think of magic. A man not going outside for 2 weeks. That's not magic. That's bloody depression, am I right?
Using magic, I will resist all of the diseases that are being harbored in this giant ocean-dwelling mammal.
Mm-hmm. The noxious gases, etc.
And they just explode at some point, those carcasses.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's supposed to be very rich and fertile with just all of the rotting matter that means that when they do decay on the bottom of the ocean... promotes all this life.
So you think
that
maybe
afterwards.
David Blaine would thrive?
Yeah, could be. As long as he exists on the same thing that whatever type of
crabs and tube worms,
ocean worm, that lives off the carcass of a whale, he could quite happily go on doing that for decades. Even I would be quite happy if he went on doing that for decades. Never saw him again.
Yeah,
he could just change his name and then disappear.
David Blaine.
Go into obscurity.
Yeah, I mean...
I will disappear
What's
into
so magic
obscurity
about disappearing?
For 20 years. Until a Where Are They Now TV show comes and finds me.
I'll be quiet.
Or somebody starts a podcast series looking for you.
What else can you do after you've... Like, this is my next big project. I'm going to live inside a whale for 2 weeks. Is there anywhere left to go?
I guess you could start trying to live in smaller and smaller animals. Yeah.
I mean, you can't do card tricks anymore. No one's going to be interested in seeing, oh, look, is this your card? No.
Oh, but imagine, what if you did?
Card tricks inside the whale?
Card tricks inside, or just a card trick so good.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your whale carcass?
But, like, what could you do with a card trick to make it to make it equivalent to living in a whale for 2 weeks?
Nothing. I don't know. I think
maybe what if that card unfolds? Yeah. And he goes, "Is this your house?" Mm. And then you unfold it around them, and then they're inside their own house.
Yeah, I mean, anything that constitutes actual magic would be more impressive than just being in a whale.
Yeah, or you make them realize that using cards, you had been creating an alternate reality in front of their eyes for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years.
Or that they themselves were actually just a deck of cards. That had been tricked into sentience by your... So fooled by the illusion that they thought that they were real.
Wait, I am a card?
I am a deck of cards.
And
I am a card.
And then they're just what, like the jack or something in there and they're ah!
And then he puts you back in his pocket and you go,
whoa! And then turns towards the camera and winks. Yeah. And then gets back into that whale.
I'm writing down. Card trick.
I think a card trick where you end up trapped inside one of the cards or possibly were the deck of cards all along.
It's a very Twilight Zone-y kind of
It is
ending to
very
it,
Twilight Zone. Yes.
Very good.
I just had an idea while we were talking about, that on the topic of the insides of whales, we're always being told that you could fit a VW Beetle inside the heart of a blue whale. And yet nobody's ever tried.
It does
seem
crazy.
It feels like science is taunting us by saying you could fit it in there, but no, the fact that nobody's ever done it.
Especially that they didn't do it while Top Gear was on the air. You know?
I guess the next step would be to use the Heart of a Whale as a VW Beetle. Mm. If they are so alike in size. I assume that they share other characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Interchangeable.
You put a Porsche. Is that what it is? It's a
the engine's
engine.
In the back.
Mm. Yeah.
The pressure to spray the water that comes out to clean your windows comes from the inner tube.
Great. From the heart
blood. Wait, pump. Is that true?
I think so.
From the
of a VW Beetle. I remember reading something like that.
That's sort not of, possible, Pete.
Yes, it is.
No.
Absolutely.
No, because the wheel is constantly spinning, right?
No. Sorry. This is from the spare tube.
Oh. So
which is in
if
the front.
You wash your windscreen
too
enough,
much, you
you'll
won't be able
get
to...
out your spare tire yep. to change the tire and it'll be flat.
It's a constant equation that you have to make.
That's a payoff. Life is all about making compromises and, mm-hmm. and working out costs and benefit analysis. Do I want the windscreen to be clean enough to wait, no longer be able to drive?
The air pressure or the water? The water was in the spare...
No. So there's the spare tire.
Yeah.
There's a little nozzle that gets hooked up to it. And that nozzle, it uses the air pressure to add to the water to spray it up into your...
to push the water
to
out
push
of
the
water thing. What do you reckon, Al?
Do you think that that's real?
I think it's genius.
Yeah.
have a limited amount of air. You have to keep repumping.
You don't need very much at all.
Yeah, really.
At all. I don't think.
Well, I think the good people at Volkswagen, I think that would have made Hitler. Was that Hitler who made him very happy? Was that the first car that he commissioned, the Beetle?
Yeah, I think
yes,
you're right.
It's the people's wagon.
Mm.
He had something
Pete,
to do with it.
If you've just made this up, I want to say, what a brilliant flight of fancy. Mm.
I'm absolutely certain, in the way that I'm not certain, that it exists. And it's a feature in a car, if not the car that I indicated that it was a feature in.
Mm. Cool.
And it's not a sketch idea. This is perhaps, probably, maybe reality.
Mm.
Is this a thought? I saw a guy in a convertible the other day, but he was wearing a hat. I thought, what is it, buddy? Top up or top down? Eh?
Alistair, that's not just a thought. That's a joke.
Yeah.
That's it. You got a bit right there.
Oh, yes.
That is a line.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You often see that.
Yeah.
That people wearing hats.
But the hat was a visor.
Oh. Mm. Then,
but
then
he
like
was
a
wearing a yarmulke as well.
But the yarmulke was also a visor.
Two visors.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a good joke.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I also
all right,
think
guys. I'm desperate for material right now.
I think also think that a character in a movie who is Jewish wears a yarmulke but also wears a visor is a funny thing. What, Pete? What? You want me to explain why it's funny? I can't. It's
what
intangible.
Type of visor?
I imagine fluorescent.
Oh, one of those.
It's a fluorescent. It's a jogging one, maybe.
Right.
Because I guess it kind of just fills in the gap there.
Mm. You know? Don't I mean, you not get totally. There'd be a ring.
Yeah, there's a ring.
Ring of hair.
Of your, and also your forehead, perhaps.
And it would be nice to see that ring, maybe in this advertisement for this combo.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you buy them together?
I think they're so. Matching. I think, I mean, if it's, you know, let's say you've seen some famous person wearing it.
Mm.
Not Mel Gibson.
Probably not Mel Gibson.
Let's see.
Wait, try to think of another famous person.
The famous Yannicka spokesperson.
Mel Gibson? No. Oh, okay.
Jim,
who was the guy from Lethal Weapon?
Mel Gibson.
So this.
What was the guy who directed Apocalypse?
This Yarmulke visor combination.
Yeah.
Is it an accident? Was there a an accident at
the chemical factory?
Well, the baseball cap factory where they ended up slicing
so
much of their stock.
Mm.
They're like, well, what can we do with this sort of skull cap part? Mm. What can we do with this sort of peak?
Mm. Well, they've seen the stamping machine that was stamping things accidentally stamped these baseball caps so that they were messed up like that. And he's got you're like, what if we just take these two bits and we just sell them together?
But what we'll need is a spokesperson to really pique the public's interest.
Mel Gibson. There's that guy from The Beaver.
Jodie Foster?
The one who knows what women want.
I know what women want, and it's a hat with a... where the brim is sold separately.
Yeah, but then it's like, and it's so great with this comfortable area around here where there is no hat. It feels like you're not wearing a hat, but you're actually wearing two.
But why?
Because of this area here where all the air can get in.
Correct.
My hair just feels like it's blowing in the wind.
Because it is.
Because it is. But also it's held down securely using some kind of clip.
Our patented two-hat system.
Two-hat system.
It sounds beautiful. It sounds like it would be our bestseller.
I think the two-hat hat is good. You absolutely had me at the line, it feels like I'm not wearing a hat, but I'm actually wearing two. Who would have thought that the solution to the problem of feeling like you're wearing a hat would be more hats? You know what? I don't like wearing hats. You know what you need? A second hat.
This whole time, all I needed was I wasn't wearing enough.
Now, and I wrote this down. Brims. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We've only ever really explored the clothing potential of the brim on the head in the hat area. But I don't see why you couldn't have a brim around your neck.
Or is that?
Right? That shades your lower body. Like, you know, a big brim that sticks out like 50 centimeters all the way around your neck.
That's quite good. Right? Because they have done a little bit of experimenting with ruffs. Those kind of Elizabethan sort of folded, starched, collary things that Shakespeare wears.
Yeah, and I guess those kind of skirts, maybe any kind of skirt that
goes like a hoop skirt.
Hoop skirt.
That's true.
But I don't think no one's described...
thinking full brim.
Yeah. We're being an umbrella almost.
Or like a chin sombrero. You know, it's like it goes around from your chin... The chin brim goes around from your brim to the back of your head, but it comes out like looks like a frilled neck lizard.
Do you need to wear any other clothes underneath? Like,
I think
not,
if you're worried about the sun,
not for sun protection reasons.
Yes, so this could be for the sun conscious nudist.
That's perfect.
Or anyone who just wants to be comfortable outside. Mm. You could maybe you wear some clothes.
Mm.
That'd be an optional.
You can
boxer shorts
and gloves.
Boxer shorts and white gloves.
Excellent.
Looney Tunes boxer shorts
and Looney Tunes gloves, like just white gloves, but it looks like the kind of gloves of cartoon characters.
Oh yeah,
Mickey Mouse. Or Bugs Bunny wears gloves.
Does he?
Yeah,
really.
Check it out. Look at it.
What is the history behind that?
I think it's a minstrel thing.
Good. No.
Yeah.
A minstrel thing?
No.
No.
Put an I there instead.
Minstrel.
Yeah. I think it's a minstrel thing.
Black and white minstrel show.
Yeah. Not ideal. Not ideal history. Maybe, look, let's just go back to no gloves. Oh,
no
fingerless gloves.
That's much better.
Yeah. Mm. Motorcycle.
Or those gloves that go halfway up your arms.
Well, another thing is that you could have a brim around every single one of your fingers.
Mm.
Finger brims.
And what would they protect from?
Tips of your fingers from...
Sometimes Sometimes you don't need it to be.
If your hands are hanging by your sides, right? The sun beating down, right? You, the tips of your fingers are being protected.
Sometimes things don't need to just be functional, though.
That's true.
We can think about this as a
Things don't have to be even functional.
No.
Well, I mean, if the brim was kind of acted like a little bowl that went all the way up to the top of your finger, or like a cone around a dog's head.
Yes.
You know, so like each one of your fingers had undergone an operation and you were trying to...
It's kind of like you put chisels on your whole finger. Yeah. So the whole finger chisel.
Yeah, so if you had that there, but you could put different kinds of dips in each... within each brim bowl.
Yeah. Or some water or something to drink later on.
Yeah. Shots. You could do shots out of your own finger brims.
It's pretty good.
I mean, in some
the
ways that's a
are
lot.
On me.
Yeah. Mm.
Boys, gather around my finger brims and sip.
That way you can have 10 dishes at once. And if you've got a friend, you can have 20 dishes at once.
A few little morsels.
Yeah.
And you just tip them into your mouth.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to control the pinky finger independently.
You see, look, I know this doesn't 100%
feel
great.
Yeah, straws. You can use a straw in them.
But these are how good ideas are eventually reached.
No ideas seem good to begin with.
By going past ideas like this, this is how we get to good ideas.
No, write this down, Alistair. I absolutely think this is a thing. They got a little rubberized kind of... You could do this with silicone, right? We are making this happen.
So the
because
seal
you know
at the bottom.
Thing where you're like, you go to a party and somebody's got beer, long necks of beer, gaffer tape to their hands? What do you call that? Beer gloves?
A problem.
Like yeah, it is. It is. You call that university, right? But you gaffer tape. But this is for people who prefer to have a little shot of like a liqueur.
Yeah, of course. So they've just got like some Cointreau in each finger, maybe a little bit of Drambuie. And then maybe some blue curacao.
Oh, were you thinking about that you could use them to mix into each other to create cocktails?
You could make shooters. You know, you could have a little Baileys on one side and little butterscotch schnapps in the other one. Make some cocksucking cowboys.
You mix them in your mouth.
Mix them in your mouth.
Mix it in your mouth.
Get a little of this one and get a little of this one. Make a little slippery nibble.
I mean, your hands won't be so useful for other things. But you're there to have a good time. You know what it'll do? It'll keep you off your phone.
It'll keep you off your phone.
Yeah. That's perfect for parties.
Yeah.
You want to encourage people to talk to each other.
But if you don't want to encourage drinking as well, you could instead put sort of like burning acid in there.
Yeah.
And then you keep your fingers upright like that so you don't spill it onto the rest of your skin.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, it'll keep you off your phone.
Yeah. And one of the virtues is that it's very difficult to drink using this method. So people won't be able to drink very much at all in the first place because it's not very practical.
Beautiful.
It just has so much going for it.
You know what? I think we're going to
So this is kind of like a thing. This is like a finger party.
Exactly. But a different finger party to the normal type of finger party.
Yeah. The normal type of finger party.
So not your normal finger party.
Yes, not your dad's finger party. Okay, can I tell you a little bit more about Harry's?
I'd love that.
You know, I use Harry's.
I did know that about you.
I use a Harry's razor to shave sometimes my entire face, sometimes just my neckle region down here in the lower neck area.
Yeah.
And it always feels so good.
Do you ever use it
on part
of
your head?
You get
those Harry's razors delivered? Do you know how good it is when you get one of those new Harry's razors arrive in the mail?
Brand new?
Like, shaving with a new razor, that feels like magic. You know?
Feels
and
like you're shaving with a lightsaber.
They will, exactly. Exactly. Which we never see take place in the... Star Wars.
But they're all clean shaven.
But you know they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know that. Well, this is as close as you're going to get, right? And what a beautiful thing it is. Harry's is a return to the essential quality, durable blades at a fair price. Just $2 per blade.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is mind-bogglingly low.
Brain-shittingly affordable. Right? And there is no risk for you trying them out. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Harry's is super convenient. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription. So you don't have to, there's no commitment. You don't have to commit to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it all loosey-goosey, baby. You play the field.
That's right.
Harry's 1 month. You can go and get some other razor some other month.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to want to.
But you'll be back.
You'll be back. listeners to our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/thinktank. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a five-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. You can grab at that razor in the confidence that you're not going to cut your fingers. Mm-hmm.
And once you go Harry, other razor blades you will not be able to carry.
Really good. That's their official slogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to harrys.com/think tank to start shaving better today.
Gosh. Well, we have to go to three words from a listener.
Mm.
I don't know if you know about this, Pete, but...
No, I don't. Tell me more about it.
Some people who donate to our Patreon, $3.
Some people.
Well, some people do. Right. But, and those who do, they can suggest three words to you know, for us to...
Do you have three words for us today?
Well, I do have three words from listener James Roy.
And what Alistair does is he gets me to try and guess the words.
Oh, okay.
But because you're here,
yeah.
Maybe you'd like to try and guess
the words.
I'd love
to guess. Okay, so which one of the words...
Thanks, James, for supporting us.
Thank you so much.
James, God bless you.
Which one of the words would you like me to guess first?
Could you guess the third word?
Is it... Constantinople.
God, that's very wrong. Andy, would you want to have a go?
Do you think he's better at it than me? Because I always get it wrong as well.
Yeah, but
huge relief to know that I'm not. It's not just me getting it wrong.
We're a regular bunch of what was it called? The thumper?
Fumblers.
The thumper.
Mm. Yeah, it's what it's like to be the. You know, it's look. I'm sure that guessing this is as good as the odds of winning the lottery.
Is it glug?
No, it's experiences.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Can we guess the first one?
Okay.
Sure. Folderoy.
Oh God.
Right, as soon as you start coming up with words that don't actually exist, you've really broadened the field.
Folderoy.
If anything, you've made more work for yourself, Pete.
Yeah.
Well, no, but
at least you're failing on your own terms, and I like that.
He's not making more work for himself because he's not getting another go at that.
Nah, okay. Glimpse?
Andy, no, it's all-encompassing.
Is that one word?
Yeah, there's a dash.
All-encompassing something experiences.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to guess what the something is?
But.
Here's a hint. It's not something.
What's the Pop-Tart?
No, Pete. And you said butt? Is that what your guess is? Butt? Human butt?
Human butt.
Or dog butt?
Encompassing butt experiences?
All-encompassing butt experiences. Or experience. Okay. No, it's background.
All-encompassing background experience.
Yeah.
Hmm.
An incredible combination of words.
All right. Because I can think of some background experiences.
Mm.
But I don't know if I can
like
think
being
of...
at the horizon.
Yeah.
Mm.
Are we all at a horizon?
Or... If you think about, if you could see some people, say, in the distance, and they look like they're either having a really great time or maybe it's something very dramatic is happening to them, you're in the background of their thing, right?
It's true. That's, you might not realize, but you're in the background.
You're just like scene dressing for their particular play.
Mm-hmm. You're an out-of-focus sort of... Yeah, a bit of detail.
Yeah, rhubarbing in the background.
We're all a random to somebody.
Yeah, but I don't know what all-encompassing means. Does that mean that you were never in the foreground, ever?
Mm.
I mean, it could be nice, you know, to know.
That you're not one of the main characters.
Yeah, like, you know, let's say like it's the Truman Show kind of scenario.
Mm.
But you know you just get to be one of the background characters.
You don't even have a speaking role.
Yeah,
you just walk on, walk off.
And it's your job at all times to just be 12 houses down and just eating breakfast in the window.
And not be doing it in any way that would draw attention to yourself at all. There's no flair to what you're doing. You're completely receding.
It's just a job.
I think the Truman Show told from the perspective of one of the extras on the loop is you know that's interesting.
That is quite interesting. On the loop, what does that mean?
That's what alerted him to the fact that he was in this thing because the extras were on a loop. They kept going around at the same time.
Hmm.
Every 3 hours or something, He'd see the person on the bicycle go past.
They'd have to have, they'd have sort of scheduled patterns and things like that.
Although I don't know why you would have that. You'd just be like, just go out there and just do stuff. Mm. You don't have to do something on a particular pattern. That would be insane.
Mm. I guess because they wanted control over what was happening and they didn't want people to actually do things. They just wanted the appearance of a real world.
But what would be the story for this person? Like, of a film, you know, the story of this person.
Mm.
What would make it interesting to follow this person?
Yes. What about your idea would be interesting if it was different, Andy?
Well, I guess the one thing that I've noticed is that people who are extras are universally insane. Yeah. Whenever I've been on a film set or something like that, extras are weird lunatics who want to have a conversation with you. And then, you know, you're like, because I've been on film sets as somebody who has a line, right? Mm. And there's always a culture divide between the actors and even the featured extras and then the regular extras who are all just nutcases.
Extras. So
they're all on the books of the places and they're doing this stuff all the time. Every week they're going out and, you know, being in the background of ads and being in the background of TV stuff.
I've definitely done this before and been the extra numerous times.
And did you find yourself becoming more weird than usual as a result?
I think sometimes you find yourself, like, because you're around these people who you don't know.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
One time I had to walk. I was there for like 9 hours and I had to walk twice with a wheelchair pushing it. And then we waited for the other 9 hours.
Mm.
And so then I would talk to people. This wasn't that time, but another time I did spend a bunch of time with this girl and, like, just talking to her. And then I found out that she went to, like, Melbourne Uni and then that she stayed in one of the colleges. Like, you stayed on campus.
Mm, yeah.
But then she started telling me about this thing about, like, how they all would wear robes.
Mm.
Yes.
During different things. And I was like, that sounds so stupid. And she's like, oh, we quite like it. I go, I know, but it's so pretentious and over the top and ridiculous. And he goes, oh, well, we quite liked it. And I go, but why? Like, you dressed up, you think like you're in Harry Potter or some stupid thing like that, and then
you know, I did this.
So you actually did
that. We wore robes.
There was a formal. Well, I didn't do it.
Once a week, right? There'd be a formal dinner on Fridays. Mm. You're expected to wear your your academic gown, that big black robe thing to dinner.
And so
for no reason.
Yeah.
Everybody has to have a robe, and you wear it to dinner once a week.
Yeah.
And there's a speech from the dean.
But you couldn't put any flair on it or anything.
No, like, you can't bling your robe.
No.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame.
Because it just sounds like an opportunity for people to get annoyed with you for not doing the right thing.
Mm.
That's all it kind of seems like to me.
Yeah.
And so anyway, after I started not flipping out about this, but I was like, this sounds like the weirdest stuff.
Yeah, you do sound like...
And then anyway, she eventually just, she wasn't around me anymore.
Do you think that the act of being an extra and then having nothing to say would have an effect on your psyche? So like enforced, it's almost silence.
Mm.
So maybe you're not being silent, but you have nothing to say. And you will not make an impact. Like, the psychological impact of that.
Also, you have to mime all your conversations. So, like, no one ever hears anything that you say, and you never hear anything that the other person says. There would be, like, a mental toll to be paid.
So, like, imagine going into your job and then pretending to do your job.
Mm.
Like, just miming it out. Not doing it, really. Just doing the sort of, in a way that, from a distance, it looks like you're doing whatever it is you do for at work, and then doing that incessantly.
Okay,
all day.
What about this? Right, you run a business, you have a business, and you have a certain number of actual employees, but then you hire a bunch of extras as well. You have on any given day, there's just 10 extras around the office, just miming things and pretending to do work and sort of having quiet conversations in the background, because what we actually found is that there's a certain threshold where your business needs to seem busy and active in order to get the maximum productivity from your actual employees.
So this
and while you might not need those extra actual employees at this point, the people you have, will benefit from this. So it's worth spending that bit of money, $200 a day or something. It's much cheaper than hiring an actual engineer.
Mm.
You just pay an extra to do busy work in the background, and you know, it boosts productivity, boosts morale.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're describing what a lot of the public service is like.
I think I'm describing what I was like when I was working as an engineer.
All right. So
I think
then,
that's something. Yeah. Right. And you know, maybe you're at work one day and you're talking to someone in the kitchenette. You turn to talk. You say, "Hey," and they say, "Oh, I'm actually just an extra. Sorry.
I don't. I won't be able to. I won't be working on that project or any others.
Yeah. Or you know, I'm not actually even supposed to talk to you. I'm just miming things." And then you look, and they like don't even have any tea in their mug. They're just pretending.
But I think for them to more effectively do this pretend, they would have to have their own pretend. Say if they're an engineer, their own pretend clients, projects, meetings.
It'd be really interesting to see what kind of stuff they're drawing on their computer.
It's like this sort of shadow. Like they don't get paid for this. They don't. I mean, they do get paid to pretend, but none of these projects really make any real money. They probably make pretend money, which they could then spend at other places which have similar employees doing pretend tasks. So you could get a not cup of coffee from someone who's pretending to be a barista.
Yeah, correct.
In order to make it look like there's enough staff to satisfy demand.
I mean, this would really work at like one of those, you know, like those building, what is it? It's like a business park where it's like it's a bunch of different buildings that have just been developed just to bring in new businesses into this place. And it's like, well, it's not busy right now, but we're really trying to lure businesses to make it seem like it's a vibrant place. So we've got a cafe down there. Everyone's an actor is just kind of like pretending like they were having coffees. Like they should have done this with Docklands to make it seem less desolate when they were developing, make it seem people are laughing, playing the park.
But I love that there's a full consultancy business called Zerto Incorporated or something, and everyone there is just an extra. Yeah. And they're all just pretending. And none of them have any experience or know anything, so it's all just pretend.
They're meeting at the cafe. Yeah. And they're looking over plans and showing each other stuff. And
you know, one of them's just got a huge picture of a duck. Another one has a list of all the capital cities in Africa.
Because it's important to have businesses, and whether or not they make any money or do anything is not important.
This will be what we're all doing after the robots take over.
Yeah.
Right? We'll just be sort of busy working back, all-encompassing background experience will be our lot in life.
And from a distance with them, what we'll get to a certain stage in terms of like wealth is concentrating and more, less and less people own more and more. So soon pretty much the only people with any money will maybe like 10 people. And then everyone else is just background for those people. I think that's
I think that's
true.
Nice. Yeah, it's like having an entourage that you don't have to even engage with.
Yeah, there's a world of pretend people who do things that aren't important and don't matter that you can just, as one of these 10 ultra wealthy people, just walk through the world and see them and feel like
the world is still operating.
The world is still operating, but really it's not, because you yourself are the only economic force that is
the
viable.
Only person with any agency.
Yeah. You can just make it seem like, you know, like people are really friendly. It's like, oh, since the apocalypse, people have become super friendly. But it's just the people you're paying to be around you. And they're just like, morning. And you're like, good morning. Like that, you're the billionaire like that.
That's a nice idea. A billionaire, an ultra, ultra billionaire who sort of is a bit nostalgic for this idea of living this little village lifestyle. So they just hire 2,000 people to just play act out like they're all living in a little rural village, you know, and they pretend to be just somebody riding around on their bicycle a little. And they're scared of the real world. They can't trust people in the real world because they try and attack them and steal all their money.
Like an ultimate gated community.
Just
not even no gates, just complete walls.
Yeah, and no real community either.
No.
It's kind of like being inside The Sims or something like that.
Yeah, it's just various improv troops that have been recruited and vetted and things like that, that no one has
and
any kind
bread.
Of... And bred. And bred to be perfect new communities
but
around
you,
the place.
You would still need some sort of mastermind to try and make it so it's interesting. So like The Sims, a director like Ed...
Sheeran?
No, the guy from the Truman Show.
Truman Show. Yeah, I know.
But Ed? You said Ed because you were thinking of Ed TV, which is a lot like the Truman Show.
Well, I think the actor's name might be Ed something.
Yeah, really? he wears a beret.
Ed Helms?
No.
Who's Ed Helms? Maybe nobody.
Yeah, no, he's former Daily Show person, and then he's the guy who loses the teeth in the his tooth in the Hangover.
Are you thinking of Head Helms? No. Which is the my the name of my hat store.
Yes.
It's where you buy your two hats, right? They're Head Helms.
Great. It's like a helmet without the et on the end.
Yeah.
Did you write down more brims? Did you write down more brim clothing?
Yeah, other brims.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Chin brims, finger brims.
Do you want to take us through the sketches?
Are you all ready for the sketches?
Yes.
Yep.
We got the fumbler. He's a person who wanted to be a hero of some sort, but he's actually, his superpower is that he gets everything wrong.
Mm.
And so after he's killed 18 people in an attempted to stop a
bank robbery.
Once he gets out of jail for that, he becomes a villain, which actually makes him a hero because he does villaining so wrong. Then we have the men's shed, but it's men doing each other's dentistry.
I love this.
And it allows people who, don't want to talk that much, well, they can have their mouth worked on, and then the other person can do a bit of talking while they're doing it, but they're also focusing on things, and they're working on their health, working on their dental health, working
Social
on their
health.
Mental health, you know?
Right.
You know? Getting mental health through dental health.
Yeah. Ding.
And then they also 69ing each other's mouths like that, and sometimes they could just both do it at the same time so they both don't have to talk.
They just be.
Then there's a card trick where you find out at the end that you were the deck of cards. You know, I think that's the one that they all want to do.
Yeah, up to it.
If the magician was the deck of cards the whole time and they pull themselves. Wait, no. No.
Uh-huh.
They somehow swap places with the deck of cards and the deck of cards is holding them.
And Penn and Teller are watching, and they're like,
and then
Penn and Teller are in the deck of cards.
You know, and they open up the hands, and then it's like the person whose hands that they were in is now in their hands,
and it just
the hands are now cards, part of a bigger card. Anyway, sorry, Pete, what were you saying?
No, just they open up their hands, and there's a little version of themselves opening up their hands to the infinity,
and
we've just discovered,
there's a key.
Yeah, and the universe collapses in on this one. Singular magician holding themselves forever.
And he fools Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
They can't guess how he did it.
Yeah.
But it turns out
it was mirrors.
And magnets.
Magnets.
Magnets. Mirrors with magnets in them.
Or it's not really a trick to live inside a dead whale.
Imagine going on Penn and Teller and your trick was being inside a dead whale for 2 weeks.
It's a stage show and they tour it all over the world.
Oh, you fooled us. We thought you got into the whale. Turns out you were born in the whale and you're only 2 months old.
Oh, my God.
And his mum was in the whale.
Or you are a whale stomach.
That's what the dad did. Imagine if that had happened. The kid, the two-month-old, was a kid, maybe, who's a magician. Right, but what had happened was his pregnant wife had been swallowed by a whale.
His wife had been?
Yeah. Pregnant wife had been swallowed by a whale.
All babies are magical.
And no, not the baby's wife.
What?
This man.
Yeah, yes.
His pregnant wife had been swallowed by a whale. And so he catches the whale and decides to sign them up for Penn and Teller's Fool Us.
I had this moment there where I was like, this is an amazing story. I can't wait to hear where Alistair's going with this. And then I realised that we never know where we're going with anything.
Yeah.
And that this is going to be an insane and impossible and ultimately disappointing.
No, it's not going to be disappointing. Story. And then they're going to be like, well, so what's the thing? You're going to spend 2 months inside of a dead whale? And then you just hear a voice from inside the whale going, yes, like that. And then they go, how did you do it? So this is the end of the 2 months. And they go, how'd you do it? Did you climb inside the whale? And he goes, no, I was born like that. in here. I didn't climb in. I was born. And then the dad who's on the outside.
I don't understand.
They win all this extra money. He can pay to have the baby get got out of the dead whale.
The baby can talk?
Well, no, the dad throwing his voice. From the side.
But then why did the baby need to be in there at all?
Well, because that was the contestant. That was the magician who was spending the time in the whale.
I'm not surprised that Penn and Teller can't figure this out.
I'm just 2 months old.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's pretty good. I'll write it down later, I guess. I feel like I'm not wearing a hat, but I'm wearing two. That's this new...
sort of skull cap and visor
and
combo.
Visor combo from... It was a mistake, but all the best discoveries are made via mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could use that in teleport. I don't know.
Destruction is the mother of invention.
Exactly. Look at this. Look at what we... Look.
We broke it. Now it's better.
Then we got other brims. You know, this is another hat-based one. But this is neck/chin brims, but also
wrist brims.
Wrist brims. I mean, I guess they've already kind of made ankle brims, which are the ones, the mud guards.
Those things?
Is it kind of like an ankle brim?
You mean like a gaiter?
Yeah, like one of those ones for, you know, stopping mud from getting in your socks or whatever.
Like a spat?
I don't know all your fancy farm words, but, you know, just what I described.
Cow,
it's cow. and then we got, you know, a sketch from the point of view of an extra in the show, Truman Show. But it's that kind of thing. And then there's a really great story from the point of view.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, and then we got extras at work to make it look either more successful or to make it the place more productive. And you make it seem like your new development is thriving. Maybe there's a few mixtures of ideas there. But there's kind of
sort of shadow, extra, pretend economy.
Exactly.
Industry.
I mean, I think that there's a whole sitcom in this. It's just people pretending.
Yes.
And they're just actors, but they're living lives.
I think
lives.
That this might actually be a real thing.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Like maybe in China.
Sort of temping, bringing people in. Like, say you've got investors coming in. You pretend that your startup is actually full of employees and they're all very busy, even though they're only in for that one day.
Well, I guess they kind of do this for political rallies, don't they?
Just
getting in America, they they bus in people to pad out the rally, make it look more.
Apparently, they pay them sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, if you're just a normal supporter of a political party and there are a bunch of people there who are getting paid, you'd feel a bit left out.
Totally bummed, man.
Yeah. But if you're in America, there's a big chance you're probably not doing that well financially. And so you probably...
You got a lot of free time, you say?
Probably, no, but you could probably try to find a way to get that kind
of... Get some of that money.
Paid money. Yeah. And then we have billionaire who pays for a community around him, who are all actors, to make it feel like, you know...
I think this would be a great little short film or something.
Maybe
or
a long film. Even.
A long film, feature film. Great.
Maybe even a series of long films.
Yeah, maybe like a 10-part series of long films.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Directed by James Cameron.
Yeah. Well, it's got a bit of a M. Night Shyamalan sort of twisty vibe to it, like a bit like The Village or something like that.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't ruin it for me.
Well, it's about a billionaire.
Oh my God! This is kind of what this is.
Lives inside a whale.
It's not. Okay. It's not. He's wrong.
And then there's also a guy. This is not a sketch, but a guy.
He's a ghost
driving a convertible, wearing a hat.
Yep. Write that down, Al.
So. Boom! 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 Boom, boom, boom. I'm a big fat moose, and I like to ride on that moose. And I'm a moose, there's two moose riding each other like a moose factory. I'm a mouse conveyor belt.
You're a mouse conveyor belt?
I'm a mouse, I'm a moose conveyor belt. But, you know, it's hard to say all the words correctly at all the time. Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank.
Pete, thanks so much for being on the show. Where can people find more out about you?
You can find more out about me by checking out my Instagram account. Let's say that. And that is Peter Thomas, P-E-A-D-E-R-T-H-O-M-A-S, at.
Instagram.
At. It's just at.
He is magical. He does illustrations, but he also designs all of our posters. So yeah, if ever you've seen one of our posters.
And I don't do card.
He's also done the logo of this very podcast.
This very podcast that you're listening to right now.
The Shusher podcast logo. Mm. He's done all sorts of...
Did the Primates podcast.
Bunch of fun podcasts on your network.
Yeah. Mm. He's very good. You can find us on Twitter at Two in Tank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
We have tickets on sale for our comedy festival shows. You know, and the earlier you buy, the more chances of us surviving and mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm. And so, you can be assured that you've got that ticket ahead of time.
Exactly. Because, you know, by the end of last season of Comedy Festival, it started getting very popular and people couldn't get tickets.
People couldn't get in. We had people standing up the back. We had people sitting on the mantelpiece of the fireplace at the back of the room.
People sitting on other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was chaos. It was terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Many Please died. Don't let that happen.
Get in early this time. And, you know, early on, it's going to be a very fun show. So buy tickets for Teleport for Comedy Festival. Thank you very much. You can, if you also want to, but... Your main game
Alistair,
is Teleport.
You're allowed to plug your own show.
But if you also want to, you can buy tickets for Alistair Trombley Virtual. Couldn't be more thrilled with everything.
Mm. Such a great title.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And
one more time, what that was?
Alistair Trombley Virtual. Couldn't be more thrilled with everything.
Excellent.
And also you can find it. We also have an Instagram at Two in Tank. And we also
have a Patreon.
Have a Patreon that you can support, and that helps us immensely. And also,
we
love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.